Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The will of God is something as Christians we are to live our lives by, and yet we live in a world that disregards the will of God. For those who are called, we find ourselves at odds with what we see happening around us, and yet we must still live our life according to the will of God. What does the Bible reveal about the will of God, and how can we align our lives to that will of God? We will start by examining a teaching of Jesus who taught that we are to be focused on that which can bring eternal life, rather than sustain our physical life. The disciples quickly responded by asking what they needed to be doing to be aligned to the works of God. The best way for us to think of the works of God is the will of God in action. Jesus revealed that the very essence of what aligns us to the will of God is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son who was sent by God, much like manna was sent by God to sustain the Israelites. Jesus then narrowed his focus on the will of God, explaining that even he came to do the will of God, showing that the will of God was not to lose any who the Father called, but to bring them all to salvation so that all can have eternal life upon the resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Those of Jesus' time understood that God heard the prayers of those who both worshiped God and did his will. Jesus once restored sight to a blind young man, and this caused a debate among the people about who Jesus was. Most wanted to deny what Jesus had done, claiming deceit and trickery, while others understood a miracle had happened. Those who doubted approached the parents seeking their response. And the parents, not wanting to stir up any trouble, deferred to their son who was of the age to be religiously responsible for himself. they asked the person whose sight had been restored to give praise to God, and in so doing would acknowledge that Jesus was a sinner. This person declined to take the bait and responded by saying that he couldn't know for sure if Jesus was a sinner. He did acknowledge that before Jesus, he was blind, and now his sight had been restored. The crowd used this to lambast him as a disciple of Jesus to disassociate him from the synagogue. This man then responded by saying something that they could not deny by their religious beliefs, that God only heard the prayers of those who worshiped God and did the will of God, and that if Jesus were not of God, he would still be blind. The crowd then accused the man of having been born into sin because he was born blind and threw him out of the synagogue. John 9, verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto him, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of him that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Doing the will of God is essential for our salvation. Without doing the will of God, there is no place for us in the kingdom of God, even if we are otherwise a religious or good person. Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." James teaches us to be mindful of the will of God in everything we do. including those things that are seemingly unrelated to faith, like business. Many compartmentalize faith and separate it into a distinct category. These are people who will, on the one hand, claim strong religious faith, and on the other hand, use the concept that it's just business when doing something at work that would fly in the face of what God expects of us. Everything we do is to be done according to the will of God, doing what God expects of us, acknowledging that God has ultimate control over what will happen in our lives. If we deliberately act in a manner contrary to God, for whatever reason, we are going against God's will. We are not doing good, and in fact, we are sinning. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there for a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In Hebrews, we are shown that even when it comes to spiritual growth and development, and teaching others about the kingdom of God, this can be limited by what God allows, showing that God can restrict access to understanding salvation, much like God restricted access to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve rejected the will of God by choosing the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. Taking comfort from the will of God, we know that God's will is that all come to repentance so that all can have eternal life. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Paul similarly wrote that it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In his first letter, John tells us that this world and all that is evil in it will pass away. He also tells us that if we do the will of God, we will have eternal life. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Within the realm of God's will for us, we know that God understands what our needs are. We are promised that when we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, our needs will be taken care of by God. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Within our calling, with a focus on doing the will of God, God intervenes in our lives so that our desire becomes to do his will. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. When bad things happen in our lives, we sometimes are at a loss trying to grasp why God allows bad things to happen to people who are following God. As Christians, we can expect to be reviled for our beliefs. And when we are hated or despised for our beliefs, it is for the glory of God. However, we may find ourselves suffering we all can take comfort knowing that our suffering is within the will of God for purposes to lead us to salvation. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Paul wrote to the Romans that we are not to be like this world. However, we find the people in this world living their lives. We must choose to live our life differently, knowing that as we allow the Holy Spirit to transform and renew our mind, we allow the Holy Spirit to prove to us what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Developing gratitude and being thankful for what we have in life is part of God's will for us. Gratitude and being thankful is not needed when one is entitled. For instance, if it is your right to receive a benefit through the government, there is no need for gratitude or being thankful to receive that benefit. Something else other than gratitude qualifies you for that benefit. And that something else is what causes your entitlement to that benefit. With God, we are not entitled to anything. We do know that it is the will of God that all have eternal life, and that no person need to die, but the will of God is a stated intention from God. Because God cannot lie, we can fully trust God's will, but each of us can always choose to reject God through free moral agency. And we must realize with the will of God, while we can fully trust God, when it comes to trusting ourselves or another person, that is an entirely different matter. Coupled with the will of God that all have eternal life and that no person perish, is the concept that we be thankful in everything. Because having gratitude and being thankful is also the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The will of God is that we abstain from sexual sins. The Church of God is not to be a social club where the sexual practices of society are allowed to continue. The Church of God is not a place where faith is used to entice or trap people into sexual situations. Those who use faith to entice or trap people into sexual situations hate God, totally going against the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. The will of God is that through our actions, we put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. What that means is it is what we do, our actions, not what we say, our words, that puts people to silence. We are called to live a life that is so far removed from reproach that others cannot or will not argue with us. Doing the will of God is about what we do instead of arguing with non-believers about what they do. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. As we grow and develop spiritually through the Holy Spirit, it should become easier for us to understand what the will of God is. To ensure we can understand what the will of God is, we need to live our lives with a spiritual focus, not a focus of drunken revelry like we might find in this world, or with any other focus like political ideology that takes the place of faith, like we might find in this world. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness through how we celebrate life, remaining thankful for what God has given us in our lives. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, we are reminded of the need to reflect on where we have come from, how when we decided to live our lives according to the Bible, that many of us lost friends and family who rejected our new focus. We need to remember where we have been, where we are, and our destiny of eternal life, remembering that we must continue to do the will of God so that we can receive that promise of eternal life. For us, there is no turning back. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Knowing we are to do the will of God can leave us feeling overwhelmed because God has the power and majesty of God to bring about his will, and we are much, much lower than God, having to do the will of God in the form of a mortal person. From Paul's letter to the Philippians, we can take comfort that he at times felt overwhelmed with the circumstances of his calling, and yet found a way to roll with the punches of life that we all endure. Paul concluded that through Jesus Christ, who strengthened him, he could do all things. And similarly, we must accept that through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us, we can do all things. When God expects us to do his will, God will equip us with what is needed to accomplish his will. When we feel weakest, we are still spiritually equipped for what is before us. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Sometimes we may find that what we think God wants us to do isn't in fact what God wants us to do. And as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, great and incredible things can come from it. For instance, during Paul's ministry, he desired to return and preach in Asia. But the Holy Spirit didn't allow that to happen. Not because there was any evil intention with Paul's plans, but because God needed the gospel to be preached in Europe, which was not totally clear to Paul at the time. Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia and assayed them to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul at night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Doing the will of God requires us to surrender to the Holy Spirit and to God the Father. Our danger comes when we trust ourselves. Sometimes we overcompensate when we do not trust other people, learning to solely rely on ourselves. And while self-reliance is important in life, we must also learn to trust God instead of ourselves, because as long as we are mortal, we will always be susceptible to sin. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. It is when we have an awesome respect of God and rely on God for what happens in our life that we can do the will of God and benefit from doing the will of God. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and shall not be visited with evil. One way that we can begin focusing on the will of God is to be familiar with the Bible. The Word of God, as given to us through the pages of the Bible, is like a nightlight. Just like a nightlight, it illuminates the path around us in darkness so we can safely progress. Knowing the Bible won't remove darkness from around us, but it will provide us with safety and trust as we do the will of God in our life. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have an inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Through the will of God, as long as our will matches God's will, we know nothing will separate us from the love of God, which we know through Jesus Christ. Through the will of God, we have been given God's Holy Spirit, and that allows all of our needs to be met, and for our prayers to be answered according to the will of God. Through the will of God, we know all things work together for good for us, because we are called of God, and because we love God, and we know in the overall reality of our present life as mortal people living in this evil world, because God is for us, no person can be against us. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The will of God needs to be our will, and our will needs to be conformed to the will of God. Like Paul, who earnestly wanted to preach in Asia and was denied by God, we may not always understand when the will of God denies us what we want to happen. But like Paul, who yielded to the Holy Spirit, when we yield to God and embrace God's will in our life, whether what we see is good or bad, according to our reckoning, we know that all things will work together for good, especially when we are at a loss for what we are seeing around us, as we remember to do the will of God throughout our lives. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.